welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm Kevin Finn, and in the studio with me today, I have my co-host, Jessica Park, and we are without Taylor Kelly today. He is at Startup Riot doing his thing with Business Radio X. We're streaming live from there. So welcome,
Very
Jessica.
Cool. How are you doing? Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Back from the beach, as you know, and just relaxed, and I got a little bit of a tan.
A little fresh.
A little
nice.
Fresh. So what's new in your world?
Oh, it's Startup Week in Atlanta, so there's big talk about it being, it's just all over Atlanta, great startups are happening, and with Startup Riot, obviously.
I'm loving Startup Riot. David Cummings, I don't know if you guys know, he bought out the Ivy across from Chipotle, and he's making it just for tech startups. I think it's called Startup Village, and that's coming along. But here we are, today we're here to talk about with different meeting planners and different stuff going on in Atlanta, and we have two great guests. We have today with us Tracy Stuckrath with Thrive Meeting Events, and she's the president and chief connecting officer there. And we also have Kelly Nelson, founder and chief creation officer at LEDExperiences.biz. So I think we're going to go with you first, Kelly.
Okay, great.
And I want you to talk about your business because it looks so cool and different. And I just haven't seen it. I feel like I'm at Cirque du Soleil. Like,
yes, it is. It's kind of a mix of things. My background is in strategic design for full events. So I understand the audience behavioral objectives that you'll be trying to go for whenever you are designing an experience. And all of that is kind of kept in mind when we create, as we say, it's not just dancing girls for the sake of dancing girls. There's a meaning and a purpose and a motivational objective. Mm-hmm. So we design all of our solutions from a strategy platform, just to start with. But then, of course, we insert the wow effect, mm-hmm. and utilize elements that will be eye-catching, engaging, will draw you in potentially to a message or some kind of emotional reaction. That'll move you along an emotional continuum to an action. So that is the foundation of what we do. And then at a glance, you'll see that it looks very much like entertainment, mm-hmm. Because we do believe that engaging entertainment is something that people notice and remember and react from. So we design things that do look, it may look like things you've seen before, and sometimes mm-hmm. it looks like nothing you've seen before, mm-hmm. because we use new things that I'm always researching, and I'm the designer of these entertainment experiences. So we might take, say, horses, opera, Ariel, and fire, and mix it into a brand new show that has a completely new message that mm-hmm. is original and hasn't been done before.
I need to know how did this come about? How do you start something like this? You don't just wake up and go, hey, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Well, actually, it kind of did start a long time ago. I grew up in Florida, and so as a child, I was constantly going to Disney World, and I was in awe of Spectrum Magic, which at that time was the Electric Light Parade. Oh, yeah. Just to age myself. So I was so overwhelmed by that. And then through the years, I was kind of one of the first people to discover Cirque du Soleil before anybody knew who it was in town. Mm-hmm. I'd seen them in Montreal. And so I was kind of always, I think, wired for this, and having theme parties at home and sure. costumes and all kinds of things. And so it kind of was driving that direction. But, you know, sometimes you don't exactly know what career path you're going to take.
Exactly.
So I ended up in advertising as a major because I think it employs psychology. And then ended up in the event design business at Jack Morton is where I started, and they since did the Athens opening ceremony. So that's where I cut my teeth and started my career. And when I left there, I started my own business, the Maverick Group, and we designed events and experiences from the ground up. And 2 years ago, I split from that. My partner and I decided to close the doors, and I went with whittling down my passion even further into entertainment design specifically and engaging environments to go with that.
Very cool.
What kind of events do you do? Like, who hires you to do these kind of events? I have a hard time believing, is it corporate? Is it everybody? Like, I'm just really curious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a mix, really, of corporate and public programs. We also have our own unique projects that we've designed. one that you might have heard of, which is Luminosity. We debuted that on the streets of downtown Atlanta in November of 2010, and it featured Big Boy from Outkast. And it was an illuminated light parade with...
Awesome. They're all over Atlanta.
Yeah, they are. They're handy right there. Mm-hmm. But it's a it's our own custom-designed program. We have a couple other programs on the bubble I can't quite disclose at this point because we're in contract negotiation. But we do everything from small corporate gala, a little bit of entertainment here, to new product reveals, to engaging public relations stunts if you want, you know, flash mobs or live.
Ooh, any you guys kind do flash of, mobs.
Oh, well, we are all about
we
flash.
We want that.
All about the flash mob.
Oh, I love flash mobs.
We did a zombie flash mob.
Oh, for I would be horrified.
Dancing Thriller, though. They were friendly zombies.
Okay, good. Okay.
But...
I just wanted to interject. Are you going to do anything? You should have a Harlem Shake video. Have you seen those?
I have, and funny enough, we're considering doing that at my high school reunion. I have my 30th nice. Coming up, so we're doing a flash mob. I hope nobody out there goes to my high school. I just gave away the surprise.
That sounds awesome.
So I have to say, my mom owned multiple entertainment companies when I was growing up. So I experienced and saw some really crazy stuff just because my mom had that kind of company. What is the wildest thing you've been asked to do for an event? Or
the wildest. That's a tough one. I would say bringing, well, the logistically most challenging, let's do that because there's a lot of wild and it usually comes out of my head. and then they let me do the wild. But the most logistically challenging, I would say, there were two. One was bringing Capriol performance horses into a ballroom as a surprise. So we...
Wow.
Yeah, with no
as
ring.
As a surprise, no less.
Yeah, with no ring. So we had the whole set built. It was at the Thomas J. Murphy, and we hid the horses in the loading dock. Mm. And at the right time, we had seven people on radios coordinating, clearing all of the halls, all of the elevators to get these horses up. And they came out from behind the set directly onto the stage and
they
into the room.
They have lights on them?
They did. Well, shining on them, but not illuminated horses. But that was a big surprise.
Yes.
And that was interesting with stallions who, have to be blindfolded on elevators and so forth. So cause horses are, skittish.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. And then another was we were asked to build a theme park, private theme park on Randall's Island across the Triborough Bridge in New York City. For 10,000 people for one day.
Wow.
So it was 13 days load in, 1,000 people on staff, and 425 front of house employees. And we had rides, we built a beach, we built a 200-foot boardwalk. It was massive. So.
What are the scale of events that you do? Because it sounds like you do these massive ones, but what about for people that want to have small weddings or anything? What is your like niche?
Yeah, well, really, my niche is creative thinking and solutions that are appropriate to your budget. So I'm able to, people, friends even ask me all the time, we're having to, we want to show pictures of the recipients of something, and so I'm going to cut out some fairy wings and stick pictures on it. I said, well, why not go get some gossamer, wire it up, and project this on, she said, that. So, it's just kind of thinking differently. There's no real ceiling of number per se for smaller events. And we have some acts that are kind of, we develop that are really affordable. We own the costumes and we can do these with the music and the choreography all set for a good price and mix and match those and then custom design from there.
What advice would you give to anyone that wants to be you? Someone that's starting out right now, they're like, I think I want to get into this event designing kind of thing. What advice would you give them?
I think the best advice I ever heard, and I've heard it two ways. One was from my dad who said, Kelly, put your boat in the water and let it take you there. Stop paddling upstream. Stop trying to force what you're going to be. Just go with what you like. And another way to say that is do what you love and the money will follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you really are passionate and interested in something, it's going to show and people will be attracted. And somewhere out there, someone's as interested in this as you and they'll pay you to do it.
Yep.
So, Kelly, how do people reach out and contact you?
I can be reached by email. Kelly at ledexperience.biz. You can call me 404-502-5501. Or we have two websites. One is our www.ledexperience.biz, which is our corporate kind of LED mantle website. And then our public program, The Luminosity, which is www.luminosityatlanta.com. And Luminosity is spelled with a C.
And do you have any events or anything coming up that you can talk about that's not in the secret realm?
Yeah, we're designing a show top to bottom for 8,000 nurses in Boston. And that's at the NTI conference, and it's coming up in May. And I can't tell you all the particulars, but
that's
it involves, because they might be listening. And it's a surprise.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Now we're going to move on to Tracy Stuckrast with Thrive's Meetings and Events. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being patient and waiting through that. What do you do? Tell us a little bit about your company and yourself.
So I'm an event planner with food allergies. And that's a little bit different to introduce yourself, but I found out about my allergies about 10 years ago and after, you know, multiple different doctor visits, but I've kind of transformed my business. I was a planner in-house corporate for for 20 years. And when I found out about my food allergies, I realized after a couple of years of not eating well that I couldn't eat at the events that I was planning. One guy used to say, why do you always get blueberries? And we get this chocolate, you know, what are you doing? And I decided to make the world healthier one event at a time after going to a nutrition program and incorporating and teaching the hospitality industry, meeting planners, caterers, hotels, on how to accommodate different dietary needs at events. And that includes food allergies, medical conditions like celiac disease and diabetes, religious preferences, and personal preferences. Paleo's huge right now. Gluten-free. That's medical and preference now. And then, you know, vegan and vegetarian. And you'd be surprised at how many vegans and vegetarians still don't eat well at events.
Yeah,
so I still do some corporate planning, but I also, my focus and my passion is really on educating the industry.
That's wonderful.
Well,
I worked in a restaurant for a really long time, mm-hmm. and I definitely had to express with my staff to be very careful about what they tell people about the ingredients in something and to always mm-hmm. ask questions rather than just say, yeah, it has no nuts, because they can't visibly see them.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So how do you educate people to keep them all in line with the nutrition? And
It's hard.
Yeah.
Because as a planner yourself, Jessica, you know that there's so many other things that we already have to take care of.
Sure.
And it, you have to let the, like yesterday I taught a class for Georgia Meeting Professionals International, and I say, this is what a food allergy is. And there's 8 foods that are across the board, across the world, are the most prevalent. And they're in a lot of things that we serve as planners. So milk, eggs, mm-hmm. peanuts, tree nuts, shellfish, fish, soy, and wheat. And for breakfast, what do you typically get? You get eggs and bagels.
All of the above.
Exactly. So how do you change those things? So it's just teaching them what those incorporate, mm-hmm. first of all, and then showing them how you can cross-reference it. So like a celiac person who can't have gluten, which is in wheat, rye, and barley, that's similar to somebody who has a wheat allergy.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you can combine those two things and make one meal versus making two separate meals and thinking, so looking at it differently, but it also incorporates, how do you look at your banquet menus or your banquet setups, your buffet stations, vertical or horizontal stations? I was at a recent fam trip in Vegas, and it was a vertical buffet, and they put the pastries on the top shelf and then all the fruit and stuff below it. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen?
Yeah.
The crumbs are going to fall down, and mm-hmm. that person who has celiac disease or has a wheat allergy is not going to be able to eat the fruit. So mm-hmm. it's just
like having the fresh meat raw above the fresh produce mm-hmm. in the bottom of the fridge, supposed to go.
Exactly. Right.
But educating people on that would be tricky.
I would have never known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is, and it's thinking about, you know, how do you communicate with that person? First of all, does the meeting planner ask on the registration form, do you have any dietary needs? Because as a planner, being prepared is what we do.
Right.
And if you don't ask those questions in advance, you're not prepared, and then you get annoyed with that person who shows up and says, hey, I'm vegetarian or I'm celiac and I can't eat this. What do I do? But if you ask those questions in advance, it really helps in that planning. But then you have to communicate that to all of your food and beverage suppliers.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing on-property and off-property events. Mm-hmm. So you can, they remember to tell the chef at the hotel, but then they forget to tell the caterer at the beach party. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about all those different things.
So a lot of these foods, because it's become sort of a trend, like gluten-free is a trend, they're really tacking on the cost to these foods, and they're like making them very, very high cost and making them hard for people to get. How do you really deal with that with your business? Or do you see that?
Yes and no. I mean, and unfortunately, gluten-free is a trend for some people. I mean, some people think it's one of those Atkins diets you can go on and lose weight, but gluten-free is not a skinny diet.
Not at all.
And you have to look at how you can incorporate that and talk to your chefs. And that's the thing about planning in advance is talk to your chefs and say, okay, I have this budget. I have these 30 people out of 150 that have different dietary needs. What can we make for them within this budget? And gluten-free, for example, 80% of all food is gluten-free.
Okay.
So you can make, you know, a quinoa kale salad that doesn't have any wheat or soy sauce or, you know, or have any of the wheat, rye, and barley in it and really make a healthy meal. Mm-hmm. It is just understanding what those ingredients are to make that happen. And I tell planners, I'm like, chefs are smart and they're talented. Use their talent.
So it sounds like you've come up with a catering business that can make delicious food and also meet people's dietary needs. So it's not like, oh, here's our special platter for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all seen the special platter.
Yeah. And that the special platter is like fettuccine Alfredo, or it's just the chicken and broccoli on the side, and they just scrape off the chicken and give it to the vegetarian. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think one thing in interviewing chefs the last couple of years that they said, they're like, a person with food allergies or special dietary needs deserves the same quality of meal as everyone else. And they've paid for that meal. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't just get that chicken scraped off the side or those croutons taken off the top of the salad at the last minute. You know, they mm-hmm. it's a quality thing. And the food is a reflection on the meeting planner. It's a reflection on the caterer. It's a reflection on the venue and the event itself.
Yeah.
So
people remember meals.
Definitely.
They do.
Oh,
they take pictures of them.
Yes, yes. They do constantly.
Yes.
I try not to.
And that's a big thing now, too, is labeling your foods, because people are going to not only – I read this article from BizBash last week. They want to know what's in the food for food allergic reasons, but they also want to know what's in the food so they can pin it mm-hmm. or they can put it on mm-hmm. Facebook saying, hey, mm-hmm. I had this great meal at the Business Radio X event and – This is what was in it, or this is what it was. And so not just for the mm-hmm. healthy reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see that people are starting to trend more with their catering towards healthier options right now? Is that something that's going on?
It's going on slowly. If you look at the National Restaurant Association, the last 5 years at least, healthy, sustainable, gluten-free, allergy-friendly, local have all been in the top 10 for at least the last 5 years, but that's restaurants. Mm-hmm. So they get it. There's some that still don't get that, but that's where it's trending, but it hasn't seen it so much in the catering arena.
Yeah.
And it's hard to ask. And cooking organically is expensive. And one suggestion that I have is, you know, talk to see who else is in the property with you at the same time. Share menus. It helps buy on bulk and reduce the costs for everybody across the board.
So you work with a lot of different vendors, right, mm-hmm. that come. And how do you really keep track of that, make sure that they're going to supply you with what you need and they don't make mistakes? It seems like it's a logistical just nightmare.
Yesterday in class, I'm like, I'm adding on to the list of things that planners have to do, pay attention to. And it's just, it's really good communication. And saying you can't just tell the caterer, hey, I have these 20 different people that need dietary needs. You need to follow up with them. Make sure they have that on the BEO, banquet event order. Because if it's not on the banquet event order, the likelihood that I or Kelly get our correct meal is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And making sure – and actually following up and making sure that meal is quality, that they're just not going to give you the broccoli.
So. Definitely.
How do you – like if someone is served a meal that you say has no nuts or no gluten or however they need their mm-hmm. meal to be, what happens if they get the wrong meal or if something goes amiss? And I mean, because once you say it's not there,
right,
then then it's your burden to bear.
It is your burden to bear. And it, and I think that's where the other side of the plate, the caterers and the meeting hotels have to train their staff.
Right.
And you said that earlier. Yeah. I'm like, servers need to understand what's in the meals. You can't just have the server walk out and, yeah, here's a peanut butter sandwich, you know. They have to understand the ingredients and what they're serving in general. But it's actually at an event that I attended last year. I actually spoke at it, and an hour and a half later, a girl had an allergic reaction to gluten at the event. Mm. And she showed up to me. She looked like she was 9 months pregnant, and her stomach had distended so much, but she wasn't pregnant at all.
Oh, my goodness.
And the president of the association was in my class, and they're like, oh, my God, what do we do? What do we do? And, I mean, thankfully, she wasn't anaphylactic shock, didn't go into anaphylactic shock. It's just a sensitivity. So, but it's still not something that you want to happen, because they had the EMTs writing up a report. And it's just taking, what are you going to do from that point forward?
Yeah.
But there was a, on LinkedIn the other day, there was a conversation about event safety. And it came from a production or producer side of the view. But he's like, what other things do you have to take care of? And planners and hotels and caterers, what are your plans of action if something medical happens to one of your attendees?
Yeah.
Including if they have, if they go into anaphylactic shock, who's calling the EMT? Did you know that this person had food allergies? I.e. ask the question, does that person have an EpiPen? You know, and how who's going to make those calls?
Yeah.
Kind of like defibrillators in the hotels.
Well, speaking of that, something that comes to mind is social media and how it can really impact your business, because mm-hmm. someone from any one of your events can, in an instant, make a judgment, and you're out on the web. You have a review on the web. How do you deal with that? How have you leveraged that?
That's huge. And you don't want, I think, being prepared as a planner, you don't want those things to happen. So letting your guests know, communicating in advance what you're going to do, how you're going to prepare them, hand them a meal. Are you going to give them a card that they can hand to the banquet chef saying, hey, I'm Tracy Stuckrath, this is the meal I'm supposed to get? And making sure that they understand the steps that you're going to take. There was a incident a couple years ago. I was attending a conference, and they had asked my dietary needs in advance. But when I got there, they hadn't done anything. They didn't have anything for me. I went, because I am a meeting planner, I found the food and beverage director or catering manager at the time. And she's like, well, I think you can eat everything on the plate or on the buffet. And I'm like, okay. No, yeah, whatever.
You think?
Right. But then they were charging. The event had not purchased internet for the ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wanted to get Wi-Fi in the room, you had to purchase it. And if you did it for the day, it was $90 per person.
What?
It was ridiculous. And it was 500 people in the room. So the hotel was going to make a killing. And somebody tweeted it out. And I retweeted it. And that woman from catering, she's like, please don't talk to us bad about that, or I'm going to put all your allergens in your food.
Wow.
And she's like,
I would have tweeted about that.
And, you know, and I didn't. But she's like, and go back and tweet out that we're reducing the price. I'm like, thinking in my head, you just threatened me with my life, and you just told us you were raping us on internet charges.
Wow.
So, I mean, that you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that's...
No.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want that to happen.
So. Well, and I was good. I didn't name the name of that hotel.
So, Tracy, how can people reach out to you? And
I'm all over the web. I'm thrivemeetings.com and on Google Plus. Well, I don't think Google Plus has a unique URL, but you can find me on Google Plus. You can call me as well, 404-242-0530. And on Facebook, it's Thrive Meetings and Events.
Okay. And do you have any upcoming events that would benefit out there?
I have been on the board for the Alley Awards.
Ooh, yes.
Which is Atlanta's premier, quote-unquote, Oscar celebration of the Atlanta event industry. And it's showcasing the best of the best in what we do in catering and weddings and event production, technical production, best use of rental equipment, things like that.
Cool stuff like that.
Cool
entertainment.
Stuff like entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Dessert tables.
Dessert tables. event cuisine. It's April 21st, The entries are actually now being accepted through March 7th, I believe.
And I think before the show, Kelly, you mentioned you've been part of it before.
Yes, we have. We're a two-time winner, or two-category winner.
Awesome.
For our Luminosity Atlanta show.
What categories?
Best use of entertainment and most original entertainment.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so it's a great evening of celebration for the whole event industry, and we're really, it's a separate entity now. It was originally founded by the International Special Event Society and the National Association of Catering Executives here in Atlanta, but we've separated it and we're becoming our own 501c3, and we're opening up the doors to any event planner who's in Atlanta, who's done an event here, who's done an event somewhere else, and just wants to showcase in what they can do.
Awesome.
Well, wonderful.
Before we wrap up, I want to check in with Jessica about your adventurepreneurs. Anything new on the horizon with them?
We just have an ongoing dialogue of educational posts, and we try to promote each other and help each other out with the referrals and things like that. And these
Is that
ladies
the
are
thing
both
you sent
there.
Me on Facebook?
Yes,
okay, yeah.
Yes.
Very cool.
So it's just like an open forum?
It's an open forum for people that are, you know, in the event industry that are also business owners.
Fantastic.
Entrepreneurs. Yeah.
Looks great so far.
Thanks.
Well, that is awesome. Well, thank you, ladies. Did we cover everything you guys wanted to cover? Anything else you guys want to mention?
I didn't mention our Facebook page. We
yes.
also have one. Thank you for the reminder. And it's Luminosity Entertainment Division, LED Luminosity Entertainment Division. And again, the Luminosity is spelled with a C, but it's the full saying on Facebook.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming on. Another great show. And thank you for... Yeah. Jessica Park and Kevin Finn and everyone here at the Business Radio X family. We'll see you next time on Meeting Pros.
Thanks.